Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3. So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandals, so they hired someone who killed Steve.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or take it as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the biggest shit show in college sports. As always, I'm your host, Kevin, and I'm here with Kiernan. Kiernan, how are you doing, pal?
I'm doing well. I've been excited by bowl season so far, and I'm looking forward for more.
Yeah, for those who are curious why we didn't release yesterday, somebody forgot what day of the week it was, so we're doing it Thursday.
It's me. I'm yes, the problem.
I knew what day of the week it was, because as long as I know what day of the week it is, I think we're doing okay. But yes, Kiernan's doing his best Taylor Swift impression. Hi, yep. I'm the problem. It's me. Mm-hmm. Speaking of a problem, Eastern Michigan, what the fuck are you doing, guys? For those who didn't see, after the 68 Ventures Bowl, South Alabama, USA was singing their alma mater while facing their fans. And an Eastern Michigan player came over and decided just to sucker punch someone. Kiernan, what are your thoughts on this?
He's never playing football again, to say the least. And if he is, it's not in this country. And that's about all I have to say to it. It was extremely violent, totally unnecessary, and just kind of pointless because you've already lost.
Yeah, like, I sort of, he'd get not a pass, like, it'd still be bad, but like, if this was during the game, you know, emotions are running high. Mm-hmm. You can't do it, but whatever. Teams will overlook that. After the game, just charging the dude, no.
Yeah.
No teams drafting this guy.
Especially with the guy's back turned.
Yeah, no. Clown behavior.
Yeah. If he was like mouthing off to you, like as you're walking into the tunnel and like you're like, you know, there's a little bit of push and shove and then you throw a punch, arguably forgivable, still bad, but forgivable. Mm-hmm. And I could see like, okay, suspension, you're not playing the first two games of next season or whatever the case may be. But that's just straight up criminal as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And this, I don't think the dude's getting drafted. He's not like a high guy, mm-hmm. but this could be the difference between his team taking a flyer on as an undrafted free agent or mm-hmm. as a late round pick and mm-hmm. going, no, you remember the 68 Ventures Bowl? We're not putting that in our locker room.
Oh yeah.
So, karma.
Congratulations on throwing your life away. Pretty much. Yeah.
Congrats, pal. Yeah. Congratulations to South Alabama though, for winning their first bowl game in program history. That's not something we should overlook.
Small clap.
Good
there.
For them.
Small
clap. Yeah, I'm proud of them. Going from this to a wholesome moment, mm-hmm. Montana is playing in the FCS championship game, and their band couldn't go. They couldn't afford it, so Montana State donated money to the school. I have thoughts on this, Kiernan, but I want to hear yours first because I feel like yours are probably different than mine.
So I'm seeing both sides, to be honest with you. I'm seeing this as a lovely, wholesome gesture where the kids who have been supporting the team all season long gets the chance to go to, I forget where they're playing specifically, but, you know, go somewhere warm, support their team, and make a good show. I also find it equally hilarious that a school like that couldn't find $3,000 to send their kids to the bowl game. And for them to just, for Montana State, it's basically like, oh, this is a PR. This is a PR wonderful. Like, it's perfect. Like, we get all the press, we get all the hype, and we also get to downplay our rivals at the same time.
Yeah. Now, look, I think it's always a great story whenever there's a tragedy or something and a rival school is sending them money to help with it. Auburn did it with Alabama when the Tuscaloosa ripped through when the tornado ripped through Tuscaloosa, excuse me. And I think it's a great kind of thing to see how, you know, opposing fan bases come. No, fuck that. Fuck that. Yeah, they're your rivals. You want to see them get stomped. You don't want any support for them. You don't want their band hyping them up. No, fuck that. Enjoy Montana. Sorry you can't see lovely Frisco. Are we sure this isn't a punishment? Their ship go off to fucking Frisco.
Yeah. That is pretty bad.
Like, I understand it's probably a nice suburb, but they're going to Frisco to play in a soccer-specific stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure this isn't, like, a punishment for the band?
It's possible. It's possible. Some of the less enthusiastic members are probably like, oh, I was so looking forward to just staying home.
Yeah, if it wasn't somewhere warm, like if they were, oh, the FCS championship game, it's going to be in fucking Detroit this year, I go, I'm staying home.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely cold here, it's cold there, I don't care.
Yeah.
At least they can get a little warm down there in Frisco. But moving on to the team that is dominating news cycles lately, Florida State. Still in the news, they're litigious nature is not slowing down. They are suing the ACC. They are saying that they should not have to pay money to leave the ACC based on the TV rights, based on the grant of rights that the ACC had every single member school sign. That Florida State also signed, by the way.
Yeah.
So, first off, I don't think Florida State has a chance of winning this.
No, absolutely not. They're stuck in a legal loophole where the teams left in the ACC after Maryland left in 2013, they signed, I don't want to say they signed their rights away, but the grant of rights, they signed that, basically ensuring that nobody left. And in kind of ensuring the conference as a whole. And I think it's like, if you want to leave, sure, this is what you're giving up. Like, there's legal repercussions and monetary repercussions for what you're about to do. Now, I get that it's a different situation than Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 because their contracts were up in a year. They only paid about $50 million. And I know those are no small numbers, but, you know, the sum that we're seeing is $472 million, I believe, is the last $572 million.
Yeah,
it's substantially more, and a lot of that has to come with TV rights and things like that. But I think Florida State doesn't have an argument to leave early. If that, like, even with our limited legal knowledge, everything I've been reading, they have no shot.
Yeah, I mean, I also, the 507 is being put out there. That's a Florida State estimate, which is including a forfeiture of $429 million in media rights. So that's not necessarily them losing money. It's just them not getting that money.
Yes, correct.
But still, $130 million exit fee and $13 million in unreimbursed broadcast fees is a large chunk of change. But hey, guys, you fucking signed the paper. Mm-hmm. And another reason that the ACC did this was Florida State was looking to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like in 2012, they were looking at joining the Big 12. And with Maryland leaving as well, That's what caused this. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Florida State would then turn around and sign it. Go, you know what? We want to leave. Oh, wait, you want us to sign this piece of paper signing away our entire rights to money, to media money and all that? Yeah, sure, we'll sign that. No problem. right here on the dotted line, do you need initial? Why would you agree to that? Why wouldn't you just say fucking no?
Yeah, it is a strange like kind of sequence of events that led this to it. And I mean, from what I can tell, there's more security in the fact that it restrains teams from leaving. But like you said, surely you'd leave right then and there. Surely that would have been the better option. And the thing that is now going to be probably harder to do is that where are they going to file all of this paperwork? Because the ACC headquarters is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Like, how do you file against an organization that's not in your state? If this was under Florida and they were suing under Florida law and all this, like without interstate going across, they'd get it within maybe 5 minutes of deliberation. But the fact that they've moved it up to Charlotte, where does all this go?
Did they? I thought they had filed in Florida.
No, my point is, like, you're filing against an organization in a different state than you. And I know there's like federal things that might come into this, but my point is that you're filing against an organization that's not part of your state. And, you know, we've already seen the governor and the AG of Florida side with Florida State, despite one of them being a Gators fan. And I just found it funny because, like, if all of the constituent people were in Florida, they'd probably win.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's the only thing, but I think it's going to be appealed out of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Florida State has a good chance of winning this first battle because it's in Florida. As you said, people in Florida are going to agree with it, except unless it's in Miami, then some of those fans might go, no, fuck you guys.
Yeah,
but if it's near Gainesville, Jacksonville, whatever. I could see them winning, but then the ACC is going to appeal. It's going to go to an appellate court outside of Florida, I believe. I don't know where the appellate courts are in this country, if I'm being honest with you. But if it moves out of Florida, then they will lose.
Yes, they will.
And it looks like, I don't know where, it's not telling me what city it's in, but it's somewhere. The appellate court is somewhere in the South.
Yes, Kevin, one would hope that it's just like in Seattle, Washington.
Yeah.
Some ridiculous.
Let's see. Locations of the appellate courts.
You want to sue the ACC? All right. You're going to Juneau, Alaska to deliberate.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
It would be. I mean, the AG's already taken time and resources out of other valuable things to, you know, do whatever with Florida State. Imagine them having to fly all the way up to Juneau to deliberate more.
That is true. But so, yeah, that's where we're at. Florida State's suing. They're going to court. They're putting on their big boy pants. A fun wrinkle in this, though, is Florida State might have been proven to be fraudulent.
Oh.
In their current form this week.
What does that mean?
So for those who did not see it, the ACC runner-up, Louisville, was going up against USC. USC, notoriously terrible defense, in the Holiday Bowl. Also a USC without Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Their backup, Miller Moss, 23 for 33, 372 yards, 6 touchdowns and a pick. And Louisville got blown out. They got dominant.
Dominant performance.
And I think that leads credence to the argument a lot of people are making. Florida State was not winning a national championship without Jordan Travis.
Mm-hmm.
So, why? I think this is hurting their argument even more.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I was rooting against USC the entire time because I've got a friend from Louisville, and you know, so I'm just like, you know, I didn't really care one way or the other, but like, I was like, oh yeah, let's go Louisville. You know, they're ranked, they had a 10-4 record. And I just watched USC put up 21 points in the second quarter. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, am I seeing a completely different Louisville?
Yeah, it's, I kind of wanted to see USC dominate because I wanted Florida State to shut the fuck up. Where if Louisville got dominated, they wouldn't have to, but people go, you guys struggled against this team? Fucking mm-hmm. really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be weird because, like, I don't, with USC doing so well, like, I know, I don't want to say they have, like, motivation going into next season when they join the Big Ten, because that technically doesn't, you know, it's going to be far too distant, you know, in the future. And also, you know, you can have guys entering and leaving the transfer portal since then, but like, it's a strong statement to make in a bowl game where you don't have your quarterback. And I mean, Moss kind of showed that he was the guy, because I mean, that was one hell of a performance. So I don't think Lincoln Riley is going anywhere necessarily.
Oh, I think he is.
Where he's going?
NFL.
To wherever Caleb Williams is going?
I wouldn't be surprised if that's a place he goes. Maybe the Bears. Maybe. I don't know. It's probably going to be the Bears. I think they're going to get the first overall pick. Maybe Arizona. Maybe Arizona's going to hire another pretty boy coach. Except I mean, this one will actually have had success. Some success in college.
I suppose so, but I'd be hard-pressed to see Lincoln Riley move along that quickly. I mean, even though he doesn't have like a Jimbo Fisher type contract, I'd be surprised.
I don't know. I'm always curious where a coach's mindset's at. Like guys like Nick Saban, they're not going to the NFL. Kirby Smart's probably never going to the NFL. Yeah. And that's not a knock on how successful he would or wouldn't be. It's just that is all modern. He can honestly, Kirby Smart can probably just coast for the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
He'll still get good recruits. He will still win. He can just do whatever the fuck he wants. It mm-hmm. does not matter.
Yeah.
So they're not leaving. I don't think Ryan Day will ever go to the NFL, but that's more he wouldn't do well.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think Lincoln Riley's going to want to go to the NFL one day soon.
Has he been in the NFL yet? I think he's...
No.
No, okay. Sorry, well, I couldn't remember his, if like, he first, jumped back or not.
His first coordinator position was at Oklahoma, I believe, and then he just became a head coach at Oklahoma, and then obviously went to USC.
Mm-hmm.
But let's double check. He might have had like a minor position in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I meant like a coordinator or head coach.
No.
Position. I couldn't remember. I just off the top of my head.
No, he was a student assistant at Texas Tech, a graduate assistant at Texas Tech, wide receivers coach, IWR. At Texas Tech. I don't know what that is. East Carolina, OC, quarterbacks coach. Then assistant head coach, OC, quarterbacks coach. Then Oklahoma, OC, quarterbacks coach. Then Oklahoma, now USC. So, yeah, I think it's... I think it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. I don't know if he has much longer in college. This go-around of college.
Interesting.
But you mentioned the opt-outs, Kiernan. And guys saying the transfer portal. And what's his name? Someone, Dennis Dodd, put out something interesting on will players opt out of this expanded playoff format? And that got me thinking, do you think that we'll see fewer opt-outs, the same amount of opt-outs, or more opt-outs?
I think definitely fewer. Definitely fewer. And I think the reason is because with the expanded playoff system, the games mean more. And I feel bad for people, for the players that are playing in bowl games this past week, because I'm like, you know, I get that you're trying to give it your all, but, you know, this is just a game. Like, it doesn't really matter, you know. And the only games that matter are the other two, because you're actually going to win something. But on the same token, with an expanded playoff, less people are likely to leave because they're like, all right, this game, like, we could win a national championship and look how good that would be on my resume for a first round pick or whatever, whatever the case may be, right? You can, you might go from a fourth round pick to a third or second even. You know, maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but you get my point. It's like you could prove your worth to your team by getting a national championship. And so I think with the expanded 12-team playoff, that'll be easier for guys to justify staying and playing.
That's fair. I think I initially wanted to say more because if you're like a 12 playing a one, you're going to be like, I don't want to play this game. I don't want to potentially get injured and ruin the rest of my life because I had to go play Michigan in Ann Arbor in fucking January. Or I didn't want to play Georgia with like a vengeance after losing the SEC championship game. But also then I look at kind of who the top 12 teams are. Oklahoma, Mississippi, Penn State, Missouri, Oregon, Ohio State. I could see it being fewer opt-outs. I think the group of five team might have still opt-outs. Can they be like, no, I'm not fucking going up to Ann Arbor to play. If I'm Liberty, I'd be like, no, fuck
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree with you there. But I think that
across the board, fewer.
Yes, yes. And it's it's going to be interesting to see next year because it is next year we're doing it, right? Because I haven't lost track of time or something because I did that this week.
You already did that once this week, but
I know I refuse to do it again. That's why I checked.
Yeah, in terms of years, it will be next year.
Fantastic. But I think it will be an interesting transition because we had 1,200 guys this year in the transfer portal. And I think that's going to drastically shrink. I mean, I still think you'll see the schools from 15 to 25 maybe opt out still. And I would kind of get that. But I still think it would be far, far less than we had in terms of percentage based per team, if that makes any sense.
We wouldn't see 20 players opt out like we did with Florida State.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because they go, well, this sucks. We're not in the top four,
but
we're still in the playoffs.
Yeah. Exactly.
So let's prove people wrong. Mm-hmm. That's fair. No, I agree. But moving on to college football playoff coverage, we have not really talked too much about them because we've been kind of saving them for this week. Mm. But I don't know. Everything I have is Alabama focused just because that's what all my shit is. It's Alabama. Mm-hmm. But the Michigan cheating scandal is rearing its head for bowl or a playoff prep. Alabama is not letting their players watch film on their personal iPads. It has to be at a team meeting where they can watch their film. Candidate, do you think this is overkill? Do you like the move or do you think this is just Nick Saban being paranoid?
I like the move. I don't think it's necessarily Nick Saban being paranoid. I like the move only because it's kind of a nice, neat little package snub that they get to give Michigan prior to their game. And I think there might be some validity to it. I'm not sure how much, given that, it's more, I wouldn't necessarily say it's iPad based, if that makes sense. Like you're not they're not stealing signs from an iPad. They're looking at game recordings or they're going to games and things like that. So it's a little bit maybe an overreaction, but I think it is a fun little snub that, Nick Saban and the Alabama coaching crew might have conjured up, but I don't really think there's anything in it.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's overkill. I don't think it's parent. I think it might be a little bit of overkill. Like you kind of alluded to it. It's a fun little thing, but it's not like iPads are concerned. But also, this is what happens when there's sign stealing involved. Teams got uber paranoid about the Patriots doing it. Mm-hmm. They were saying that they had their locker room bugged.
Yeah.
Like some spy versus spy fucking man from Uncle shenanigans going on.
Yeah.
But I know I agree. I think it kind of makes sense doing it. Like you don't want anything getting out. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily Michigan specific, but with that going on, it's a good time to say it. I'm shocked that this came out.
What do you mean it came out?
Usually Alabama players are very tight-lipped. You see kind of the training they go through with Jalen Hurts in the NFL now. He won't say anything, really. And that's partially because of his time with Nick Saban. You saw a couple years ago, Quinnen Williams talking about Kyler Murray. And he said, yeah, you know, we're not really concerned. And then stopped. Because he didn't want to give them bulletin board material. He didn't want to talk shit about Kyler before the game. And they're like, do you want to finish that sentence? He's like, no, I'm good. And Isaiah Bond was talking about this. I am surprised that it came out that this was happening.
Mm. Arguably, that's the bigger concern for Nick Saban, is like he's losing control of his players.
Yeah, Nick's losing it.
He is. He's just, it's a slippery slope from here, Kev.
Jesus. Next thing you know, we're going to be fucking hiring defensive coordinators as offensive coordinators. I don't want to kill myself every week.
Seriously.
Yeah, God. It's insane. But yeah, no, like this is something you wouldn't see 4 or 5 years ago, but also a couple of years ago at the national championship, you wouldn't see Nick Saban stop his two captains from leaving to talk about how important they were to the team.
Mm-hmm.
Things are changing at Alabama. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. I think it's a good move that Nick Saban did that a few years ago, show a softer side. But at the same time, I don't know how I feel about Isaiah Bond talking about this. And obviously, he's a fucking D1 athlete, something I never came close to. Closest I've been to being a D1 athlete on Hurts holding the door for me or playing football with Tua, flag football, because I would die. But so yeah, he can do what he wants. He can talk about what he wants, but it is mildly concerning.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of those things, and I know this isn't exactly the point of our conversation, but like it's one of those things, like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So it's like for Saban, I find it to be odd that like his players are talking about it. Now, if that was just a slip up on him and he got, you know, the short end of the stick at practice the next day, I wouldn't be at all surprised. But it's one of those things. It's like, is Saban's softer side becoming a detriment to Alabama?
No. No, he has lost his shit constantly this year. I don't think it is. I think that softer side he showed was, hey, Bryce Young and Will Anderson were very important to that team. But also with recruiting, like, you need to do that now. You need to be more receptive to your players. And I'm not saying Nick Saban hasn't been receptive
mm-hmm.
in the past, but showing that can help you get recruits more.
Mm-hmm.
Fair but enough. Yeah, no, it's just kind of weird to me that I feel like you won't really see, you haven't really seen an Alabama player or a Nick Saban player in general talking about the preparation the team is doing.
Mm, yeah. It's just one of those things. It's we're so not used to it that it's weird when it happens.
Yeah. Oh, if a Washington or a Texas player would say that, I'd be like, ha, that's funny. But yeah, like you said, it's weird to see a Nick Saban player do it.
Right.
But also, sticking with Alabama football, because like I said, that's all I fucking see. The quarterback who led Alabama to all their wins this year and their one loss, well, most of their wins except the USF game because Tommy Rees is an idiot, was told in the past he's not a quarterback. He shouldn't play quarterback. He sucks. And that came from none other than Billy O'Brien. I just want to talk about that because I was right caring in to hate Bill O'Brien at Alabama.
Yeah, no shit.
Vindication.
Congratulations, Kev. I'm so glad after a year it's you finally get vindicated by it.
Yeah, I was probably vindicated by it the first time I said it.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, that's really it for Alabama. We're gonna go into our picks. We are going to pick the two college football playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to keep track of who picked what because we're notoriously terrible at it.
Yes.
But let's just do the Sugar Bowl first, Texas versus Washington. Texas is a -4.5 with a 62.5 over under. It is on Monday, January 1st at 8:45 p.m. Kiernan, who do you think is going to win this game?
I have actually been thinking about this a lot. And despite the fact that I'd like to see Texas play for a national championship today, or well, this week, I would prefer to see Washington do it. Now, that doesn't really have anything to do with who they're going to play in the final. It more has to do with the fact that I think it would just be fun to watch Washington win. And I don't really have anything against Texas, and I don't, you know, I'm not, there's no real sway pulling me one way or the other. I just really want to see Washington win. So I'm going to throw my weight behind Washington and just say, fuck it. Like, let's see what happens.
That's fair. I think I'm going to go with Alabama or not Alabama. That's the next game. I was going to talk about this. I was going to make a point about this.
Okay.
Yeah, about Alabama.
Please use reference context first.
Yes. No, I got ahead of myself. I'm going with Texas. Sark has made it a focus to kind of get bigger. Something that Texas hadn't really done for a while. That's part of the reason they weren't good. They focused on skill positions. Skill positions are important, but Brian Kelly pointed it out a few years ago after a bowl game for Notre Dame that the size difference was so massive, he had to focus on getting bigger on the line. Mm-hmm. And Texas realized that as well and has been doing that. They have been getting bigger, mm-hmm. and getting more dominant interior, controlling the trenches. I think that is going to be the difference. We're going to talk all week about Penix and Ewers. I think that Texas and Washington trenches, that's going to be the deciding factor of this game. Mm-hmm. And I think Texas is going to win that battle. But also, it's some insane number. It's like the last 10 or 15 national champions have either been Alabama or beaten Alabama. Texas has that check mark.
Yeah.
So give me the Longhorns.
All right. I'm glad you picked them because I wanted to be opposite just to see who had won. But I agree with you. I think Texas has a very legitimate shot for the national championship game. I have no doubt that they're probably going to overpower the front four of Washington. I purely just want to see Washington win. There's no real rhyme or reason behind it. So that's, you know, that's what it is. but I think it's kind of pales into comparison compared to the other game.
Yeah, the Rose Bowl is the game everyone cares about. Even when it's not a playoff game, everyone cares about the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Or just the parade, but people care about the Rose Bowl a lot. Mm-hmm. But this one's at 5 o'clock Eastern time on Monday, January 1st. I fucking hate how college does this, by the way.
Oh, it's so annoying.
You scared the NFL into playing on Sunday in their early days. And you're putting your biggest games on Monday night. Fuck off. Michigan's a 1.5-point favorite. Over-under is 44.5. I'll start here. Alabama has the advantage at quarterback. Mm-hmm. In every statistical category, I think line is a push, honestly. I think receivers are up. I think Alabama might have the advantage at receiver. I don't really think Michigan has like a true number one guy who you can go, oh yeah, if we need a big play, it's going to this guy. This guy's going to make it. Isaiah Bond's that for Alabama. We have a lot of other good receivers as well. Defense, Michigan has a great defense. Alabama's also has great defense. I think that's going to be pushed. And then running game. That's the only thing where I can say clear-cut Michigan has the better running back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Running back rooms, I think Alabama.
Yeah.
If Blake Corum gets tired and their number two has to go in, I would like Alabama's number two over Michigan's number two. I think the drop-off is pretty severe in the Michigan running back room. And that's not a knock on them.
No.
Like, they have a number two who's a number two. Alabama has a number two who might be like a 1B, 1A kind of guy at some places. So I think the running back room at Alabama is better. I think the running back, the number one back, is better at Michigan. That being said, Michigan is 1-6 in bowl games for the past 7 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 years. I don't think they played in a couple of bowl games. I'm going with Alabama. Jalen Milroe looks like a different quarterback. Tommy Rees is calling the offense for him, not a lacrosse player masquerading as a D1 quarterback. And I am not going to bet against Nick Saban until the day I fucking die.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going with Alabama.
I can't fault you for anything I said, for anything you said. And I agree. I think Alabama's going to win this. Not comfortably, like not like by 4 or 5 touchdowns, but like they're going to win by like 2 touchdowns. And I know that sounds bizarre. Michigan has been easily the most consistent team, at least in the Big Ten, in terms of the points per game, the points for and against per game. I don't think there's any like there's any doubt that overall they have a great team. I just can't see them beating Alabama in any possibility. If the only scenario I see is if Michigan comes out and absolutely dominates the first quarter and just runs the ball down Alabama's neck the entire time, gets a few quick passes to move the ball just to make a, you know, change up the offense a little. Other than that, if they have to go into the fourth quarter down a touchdown, there's no chance that Alabama loses. And it's weird to think, seeing as how kind of slow Alabama's been all year. And it's no knock on Alabama. It's more just like, you know, they struggled early, but in the long run that they've done super well. And like Georgia, it seemed like they started really slow, but once they're in the playoff, Alabama is a different monster to deal with. And I think it'd be ridiculous to vote against Nick Saban.
Yeah. And this is the first game, and I could be wrong, but I think I read this is the first game they're the underdog in against a team not named Georgia in a long time.
Yeah. And with good reason.
And yeah, in those Georgia games, more often than not, tend to work out for Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
29 game win streak. Alabama's 1-2
mm-hmm.
against Georgia. So
yeah,
or 2-1. Excuse me, Georgia's 1-2 against Alabama. So all right. So you have your playoff. You have your national championship. Washington versus Alabama. I have mine. Texas versus Alabama. Who are you picking in your game, Kiernan?
Oh, Alabama. Oh, it's Alabama's to lose, as far as I'm concerned. Once they dispatch Michigan, they will have no problem. No problem whatsoever dismantling Washington. How about you?
I'm also going to go with Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very difficult to beat the same team twice. Mm-hmm. I understand Texas beat them at home. I'm not taking the game lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Or I wouldn't take the game lightly, and Alabama obviously wouldn't either, but how I feel about it does not impact the team at all. But I do think I would love to see a replay, not love to, because I don't want to see someone get hurt, right, but a replay of 2009, Quinn Ewers go down, Arch Manning has to come in, just is the average D1 quarterback that he is destined to become.
Yeah.
And then I get to hear Texas fans the next 15 years say, well, if Quinn didn't get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really see any other team apart from Alabama winning this whole thing. It doesn't matter who they were playing. They could be playing Georgia for all I care, and I still think I would root for Alabama because, well, not root for. I don't want them to win, but I'm betting that they will.
That's fair. And you made it abundantly clear, but I had another topic on here. Who do you want to win? I thought it was pretty obvious when I was thinking about when I was typing. I was like, yeah, I know the answer already.
Yeah. Really? Do you? Well, hold on. Tell me what you thought I would say.
You weren't going to say Michigan.
Correct.
No shot in hell.
Right.
You weren't going to say Alabama.
Correct.
So I think it's going to end up whoever wins the Sugar Bowl is who you want to win.
Yes. That's pretty fair.
I think Texas, well, you don't have an issue with them. I don't think you necessarily would love to see them win. I think you'd like to make fun of me if they win.
Yeah, they won. Really more
Texas is back, all that. But I think you would enjoy to see Washington win more than anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's very fair. That's very fair, and I don't disagree with you. I think I think I would love to see Texas win. As much as I don't think they will, I would love to see them win. More so just that I can say, na 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 na, haha, Kevin. Like, just, that's it. That's the only reason I would want them to win.
Yeah.
But your other observation is absolutely correct. I would love to see a Pac-12 team win right before the quote-unquote official dissolution of their conference.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate to see Washington win, but I don't want to see them win. I want to see Alabama.
Yeah.
But if, God forbid, Alabama loses, next week's episode's going to be a shit show if they do.
As if it already isn't.
It's going to be worse. It's going to be that episode is going to be the biggest shit show in college football, including every other episode of this show.
He's going to be singing Choo-ra-loo-ra-loo.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be unbearable for me. But
you, me, it's going to be unbearable.
Both of us. It's going to be unbearable for me, and then I'm going to force that feeling onto you.
Kill me now, folks.
Nope. Kieran, if I'm not allowed to kill myself over college football, you're not allowed to kill yourself over college football.
Oh, boy.
Those are the rules that have put upon me, because my girlfriend wants me around for some fucking reason. And I'm putting those on you. I don't feel like finding a new co-host, Kieran, so...
All right. I'll stick around.
All right, good. Now, I didn't put this as a topic, but I'm just curious. What are your thoughts on the Penn State-Ole Miss game coming up?
I'm not going to lie. I'm nervous. I am concerned. Mostly because Manny Diaz isn't there. And I know that shouldn't matter, because whomever will be calling the plays should just call them the same as Manny Diaz. And Manny Diaz has coached that defense so that that they themselves should be absolutely fine by themselves. But on the same token, I think he was a large part of that defense. And I think that him leaving definitely stung some of the players. And I'm not entirely confident on a win. And Penn State's like, I think just over 500 in bowls maybe since James Franklin arrived. I'm not 100% on that. But you know, I'm not entirely, thrilled about facing Ole Miss.
That's fair. Penn State are 4.5-point favorites, but if you told me 2-3 years ago that someone somewhere was about to say, I'm concerned because Manny Diaz isn't there, I would have laughed at them.
Very fair
point. I would have assumed you were an Ole Miss fan. Be like, oh yeah, Manny Diaz isn't there, so maybe the defense will be good. Like, we're screwed. Never would I thought did I think a Penn State fan would ever say those words.
Look, I mean, the results speak for themselves, Kev, as far as
I'm
concerned.
I'm not saying you're wrong now. Yeah. I'm saying in 2021, 2022.
Yeah, no, I agree. Really? That would have been a ridiculous statement.
Yeah, but Peach Bowl is... When's Peach Bowl, Karen?
30th.
The 30th at noon. A noon kickoff.
It's always with us.
That's fair. Does part of you not care?
Oh, no, I very much care.
You're going to watch the game. You're going to want Penn State to win. But is it going to ruin your weekend if they lose?
100%, yeah.
Oh, it will? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Oh, it will. I'm curious, at what point do you become despondent to what Penn State does? Obviously, if they go on and win a national championship, you're going to be thrilled. Yeah. But at what point, if they win or lose, you're like, okay.
That's a good point, maybe. I invest far too much of my happiness on a Penn State win. I don't think a bowl game that doesn't matter will change that. I think still be like, for Alabama, it's different because you're playing for a natty. But for Penn State fans, this is their natty. A New Year's Six Bowl is about as good as we can do. And, you know, I'm just like, this will make or break my whole weekend. I will be a right bastard if we lose.
That's true. Well, at least it's not like New Year's Day.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose that's true.
Like, it was New Year's Day. That's a shit way to start off a new year. But because it's like 2 days before it's 30th, you can have like one day to wallow. And then you're like, well, it's New Year. Maybe yeah. James Franklin will figure it out. Or maybe we'll get a new coach. Who knows?
It's all to play for.
Fair. But that's it for this week. Tune in next week to see if I have killed myself because of Alabama football.
And I have killed myself because of a Peach Bowl. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Tune in next week to see if we're still alive. This episode is brought to you by Yeats. Head to yeatsofficial.com. Promo code tailgate for 10% off your order. They are incredible fucking sunglasses. I say it every week. I cannot say it enough. Go buy some. They're awesome. And everyone have a good, safe, fun weekend. Happy New Year's. Kaden, this is our last show of 2023.
Wild. It's been
fun. Yeah, it's insane. I'm honestly shocked we're still here. Both from the aforementioned unaliving base because of our teams, but also on Surprise Note said, hey guys, you're done. Yeah. No more shows. Take a mic away from Kevin. But, oh, we didn't even talk about Christmas. Kaden, how was your Christmas?
My Christmas is very good. I made out like a bandit. Despite me not having a Christmas list.
That's fair.
How was yours?
Mine was incredible. I have had four Christmases.
Oh.
One with my dad's ex-girlfriend / my stepmom. One with my dad. One with my girlfriend's mom. And one with my girlfriend's dad. It was awesome. I got Legos, Alabama apparel. And my girlfriend's stepmother got me a vintage Alabama footstool. And it's awesome.
That's so sweet.
It's so cool.
He sent me a picture of it, and I was like, he said, I can't hype it up too much.
Yeah, I didn't want to, but yeah, so it was good. It was a fun Christmas. But yeah, we hope everyone had a fun, happy Christmas. And we didn't talk about it, but I know it's past. Anyone listening, hope you had a fun, happy Hanukkah. It is Kwanzaa, so happy Kwanzaa. And everyone have a happy new year. Bring in the new year by drinking a lot, but don't drive if you do.
One, two, three.
Get an Uber. So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandals, so they hired someone who killed Steve.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or taken as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name. And we're still here.